Hi, friends. I am Erin from Erin Whelan Online, and this is a podcast about my family's homesteading journey. From an urban farm in Washington State to 120 acres in Tennessee, this is our journey of how we got to where we are and how we're building our homestead from the ground up.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast for this week. I am so excited that I actually have an amazing special guest on. I have Heather from Heather Handmade, and she loves sewing. And it's so funny because I was looking at sewing patterns last week, and I just typed in how to sew lace, and a blog post that she wrote on her website popped up. And she was just so knowledgeable. And I like went directly. I always go on Instagram and jump on. I want to see like Instagram and what they have on there, because I feel like it's a really easy summary to kind of see everything they do. And I just loved everything she shared and all her tutorials and everything. And she just made it seem very accessible and easy to sew. And since this is kind of a homesteading podcast, we talk in here about how homesteading is more of a mindset than anything. And I feel like just being a homemaker in general, sewing is such a great asset to have, kind of an arsenal in your ability to do all these different things in the household. And so we are going to have Heather just kind of talk us through some beginning things on how to sew. And so welcome, Heather. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes. Okay. So first thing first, we just want to know a little bit about you. So can you just tell us how long you've been sewing? How did you get into it? Have you always loved to sew? Did you learn it from family members or self-taught? Just kind of tell us a little bit about your story.
So actually, my mom does sew and she hates it. So I started sewing in kind of junior high and high school, but I would make like really artsy, weird stuff because I felt like in high school, I just felt like we were all the same. And so I would make, like, I made a twister dress, like a dress out of a twister mat and ties into a skirt. Like, I made all this crazy stuff so I could feel unique. You know, that's kind of what you know, people want that in high school. But
yeah,
I just really started to love it, even though I was creating all this weird stuff. So when I went to college, I was not interested. I was like, I cannot study for 4 years any of these things. Like, nothing is interesting to me except for sewing. And so that's what I just kind of chose that, because I was like, well, that's the only thing I really like. So I did that. But then I worked at a tailor shop, which really opened up so much about sewing to get, like, I was learning it in school, but then I was also essentially apprenticing, you know, at a tailor shop. And so both of those together really give me it's like a really well-rounded way of thinking of sewing, because I can think of it when you make it from scratch, but then I also think of it after it's done anyway. So that's kind of how I got into sewing. And then I've just been sewing ever since. I've just have loved it ever since.
That's amazing. Wow. A tailor shop. That'd be really fun. Cause that's a lot of behind the scenes, probably like tricks of the trades. And it's one thing to learn it, but when you're physically in there doing it, I'm sure that just learning on the job is so much better. At least for me too. Like when I I can see someone do it, it stays in my brain better.
Right. Well, and there was a lot of things that when you're doing it by hand, you don't ever learn from a book or from a class, but you know, when you see it in person, it's different.
For sure. And I love that you used kind of your creativity express in this in high school, because I know some people like lean into the makeup or they do the hair, and then some people do the clothing, and you did like the sewing of the clothing. So you definitely were unique. So you got what you were after for sure.
Right.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I guess the next question is, do you think anyone can sew? And if do you think sewing is a skill that can be acquired? Because I know there's a lot of people that are talented in certain things, but even if you feel not talented in this area, is it something that you think anyone can learn?
So I personally think that if you want to learn to sew, you can learn to sew. I don't think it's as hard as people think it is, but you have to really, really want it, because you have to go into it knowing you're going to make mistakes and knowing it's going to be hard and it's a lot of hard work. But if you really want it, I think anyone can do it. And that might mean that some people really like quilting, some people like sewing clothes. It really, you know, everyone has their thing within sewing. I think it really can be learned and acquired. I know a lot of people, like, especially when people find out I sew, they get like, oh, I could never do that. And I really think you can, you just have to want it.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. I think for just like homemaking and just like what we're talking about, homesteading in general, is like a lot of people are like, oh, I could never bake bread, or like what, name whatever subject it is. And you, that almost, it's almost like a cop out where you're like, oh, you really could, you just have to want it bad enough, right?
Yes, it's so true. It's so true.
Okay, so pretty much we all think anyone can do that. And I think you're right too. Just, you know, maybe someone doesn't like sewing clothing, but maybe they would find joy in sewing curtains or maybe things for their house. And I think even just knowing how to put a button on or sew a seam that rips, like something like that, can really save you financially in the long run too, right? Because I mean, if you have a seam that ripped in your favorite dress and you don't know how to fix that, well, then it's going to sit in your closet and be useless. So it really is something that's beneficial.
I really think of sewing as not all sewing, but like a hem or mends or like that seam or a button. I think that's a life skill. I think, you know, we should all learn that because you save so much money and time because it's, you know, it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes to do that little thing.
Exactly. And with the price just lately of clothing in general and everything else, and almost like the quality going down, I feel like a lot of times, but the price going up, like if we're going to spend that money on it, we need to know how to keep it well and keep it for the longest amount of time we can possible.
Yes.
Okay. So from there, where would someone start on their sewing journey? Like, I guess, what would you think their first steps should be?
So I actually have several blog posts about this because I love sharing the love of sewing, and it's really about starting with small projects with straight lines, like pillowcases, tote bags, aprons, but starting small. And the most amazing resource for sewing is YouTube, because there are people who put so much free content on YouTube that you can go, I mean, you could go there and you could learn more than I ever did in college or working at a tailor shop, because there's so much content for free on YouTube. And then it really helps being able to see it visually to help you in the process as you're learning. You're like, oh, I can see what both sides of the fabric are doing, or I can see what the sewing machine is doing. So really starting with so small projects is the best. Scarves, headbands, hats, mittens, you know, do something you're interested in, because if you're like, I hate curtains or I hate home decor or something, like, don't do what you hate, do what you love. And that might be clothing or something, but start small. And as you work through those things, you'll get better. But then remember, you're going to make mistakes. Like, I still make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. That's the great thing about having a seam ripper, because you can rip open that seam and you can fix it, and you can't see that you fix that. But then some of the projects you have to throw away, and, but then, you know, learn from it. Don't just throw it away and be angry at yourself. Learn from it so that you won't make the same mistake again the next time.
That's great information right there. And YouTube, you're right. YouTube is like, I don't like to make YouTube videos because they are really intensive. And so that, I think I appreciate even more when someone does, especially like a sewing tutorial, because you're right, the angles and the showing and the explaining everything, it takes a lot, but there is a ton of information out there. So, and then you'll have to email me after this is over, like a few of your blog posts that are like your favorite beginners, and we'll add that onto the bottom of these show notes, and we'll share those with people so they have access to those too, because I'm sure a lot of people would love to be able to just kind of look into that and see what those are. So, we'll make sure to detach that on there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, extra question for you is like, what are some of your favorite things to sew? Because I see you sew a lot of clothing, and I see like the Halloween outfits and things like that. So what's some of your favorites?
My favorite, so clothing will always be my favorite, especially knit fabric. I really love working with knit fabric, and it's kind of funny because people were always afraid of knit fabric, and my sister and I, we kind of were like, oh, you don't have to finish the seam, you know, like a woven fabric, it's going to fray. So you always have to finish the seam. And so we were like, oh, with knit fabric, you don't ever, it doesn't fray. We don't have to finish it. So we're like, we like this better. And so we went into it thinking, like, we had like no clue that it was supposed to be harder and people didn't like it. We went into it thinking, this is great. We love this. And so I didn't have any of that stigma about knit fabric. So I really love knit fabric, but, and I love doing costumes. I love costumes for my kids. And I really, really love like upcycling like adult clothing into kids or babies clothing. That might be my ultimate favorite thing.
Oh, I love that. So do you shop at like, do you just take some of your old stuff or do you like go to the Goodwill and find things secondhand and then take them? Like, how do you, what's your process for doing that?
Either or, like, I love, like, one of my very, it's still a very popular post. And it was like, so my son is 11. And when he was almost one, I turned a t-shirt, like my husband's t-shirt, into like a baby romper. And like, it exploded back then. It's been so, I mean, people just love the idea of, you know, especially if it's like for kind of a memorial reason, like if someone has passed on and you take those t-shirts and you make it into something for a baby. So then you're remembering all the memories that are attached to that t-shirt, but then your little baby is wearing it and crawling around. And it's just so fun to see that. So honestly, I do it all. I do it with like anything that I'm giving away, or I find stuff at the thrift store, any of it, but I love, like, I have multiple patterns with turning adult clothing into clothing for kids and babies.
That is so amazing, because I think you're right. Like, sewing, especially when you're making something or converting something, like, not only does it have those previous memories attached to it, but you have given your time and invested in this piece that, like, I have things that people have sewn me that I will never give away and I will pass down. And they're only important because the person that made them has an importance to me. And so therefore, like, it just, it means so much more. And so I love that, how there's just that history that you can pass down and then repurpose and relive in them. And so it's kind of like a constant reminder. It's like bittersweet. I love that. That is so
yes.
Cool. Okay. And so for someone who's new then, and maybe they don't want to, because like fabric can get expensive, like if you're going to Joann's and things like that. So if someone's new and they don't want to invest in like these bigger pieces because they are afraid they might have to ruin them or throw them away, would you just try to do kind of like you say, maybe thrift stores, maybe they have fabric, or just kind of like the old clothes repurposing, that's an easier way? Or do you have any other ideas?
For sure. Like, I have found really great fabric at the thrift store. It's not like a constant that you'll always find it, but you know, if you're just kind of keeping your eye out, I've found really great fabric at the thrift store. I totally recommend finding stuff at the thrift store to use just as fabric. Like, there's scarves or maxi skirts or bed sheets. You know, there's things you can buy that is a lot of fabric for really cheap. And that is one of the things I really recommend. Like, don't get all of the really expensive fabric, because then you're so afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah. And it just sits there. And if you don't want to touch it.
Yes. And then if you do make a mistake, then it's so like heavy, like, oh, I spent all this money and then I made a mistake. So like, start with the cheap stuff, but you can find really amazing stuff at the thrift store that doesn't look cheap. Like, I'm not saying go get all the ugly stuff. You can find really cute and fun stuff.
That's true. And I didn't even think about bed sheets and like probably tablecloths. That'd probably be good ones.
Yeah. Yes. And then if you have a ton of fabric to start working with, that you don't feel as, there's not as much pressure to, if you make a mistake, but then you get to practice and make really great things. And then like, as you become more confident and feel better about it and you really love it, then you can be willing to, you know, buy the more expensive fabric.
That's so perfect. Because I think anybody, when they look at a new craft or a new skill or a new endeavor, even like I do a lot of baking. So a lot of times I try to use that as an example, is like when you purchase the flour, the sugar, the butter, like that stuff is expensive. So to put all that into something that you're not going to sure turns out, but I love how this, I mean, you can't go and thrift butter, but you can go and you can thrift. So, I mean, as long as you have a sewing machine, basically you can just play and experiment. And like you said, because it is heavy. I've done that before where I purchased which you should never do. You should always purchase extra material. I learned that a long time ago, but I would purchase like the exact amount and go home and I would ruin it. And then I would be so mad because I would have to either go back to the store or start from scratch. And that's just so frustrating.
Yes, for sure.
And so that leads into kind of the sewing machine. So those can be really expensive. My mom bought me a Bernina when I first got married. It was like a really nice one. And I had my daughter and she went, like she was two, and she went into the sewing machine room one day and I didn't know she was down there, and she pushed like every button on this machine. Oh. And I let it sit there for like 4 years and I didn't use it because I had to send it into the shop to get it like refixed. And anyhow, we ended up buying her because she actually grew up wanting to sew. So we bought her a really inexpensive machine. Hers is a Brother, I think. And and it's been sewing really great. So what do you recommend for like beginner sewing if someone's not sure they want to commit like a lot of money into a great sewing machine, but they want one that's like easy to use, I suppose?
I would totally. Brother is one of the best. That's the one I bought for my kids to use. And Janome is really good with beginner machines. Those are both, they are both brands that really make entry level sewing machines so that they're not expensive. It's still a machine. You're buying a machine, but it's not overwhelming with how much you are purchasing. And then when you really get used to it and really love it, that's when you can find other options and choose other things. It's funny because I love Bernina. That's what I grew up with. At every school I've done Bernina, but I think the cheapest Bernina is probably pretty similar to a Brother. It's just, they're very good machines. They're just quite expensive. So I will always recommend Brother because they work amazing. I have a friend that she made jeans with her Brother sewing machine. Like,
oh, wow.
It was the basic one. So they're awesome machines. They do great.
That's really good to know. And I apologize to everyone. If you guys hear those guineas in the background, of course they decided to be right beside the room I'm in and they're outside screaming. So if you hear that, I am so sorry. I just texted my husband. I'm like, get the birds away from the homeschool room. Okay. So, and I got it for my daughter for her birthday. And I think I got it at Walmart and it was just over $100. So that's not like, in terms of, even if you only used it over the years to sew hems and patch and do things like that, within a little bit of time, it would definitely have earned its money back. So yes. I think, again, that's just very encouraging for someone looking to start. Like, you don't have to invest a ton of money to just experiment with this. So that's really good to know. Okay, so since after the sewing machine, then what kind of fabrics? So we talked about like bed sheets, like is 100% cotton. Is that kind of the best to start on? I know stretchy material can be a little bit different, maybe difficult, even though a lot of clothing is more of a stretchy. So what would you say maybe if someone wanted to get into clothing, like the patterns and then the material to go with that?
So for the fabric, like bed sheets are really soft. It's essentially quilting cotton. Like, it is 100% cotton. It is woven, but you don't really want to use quilting cotton for clothing because it just wrinkles really easily.
Oh, okay.
And so, but if you're using like a tablecloth or a bed sheet, like it's softened over the years. And so it would lay nicely on your body. It would look more like apparel. So that would work. But I also really love like cotton spandex jersey. That's like a t-shirt that it's an easier knit to work with, like a men's t-shirt, not like, cause women's t-shirts, it's like, you know, there's 500 different kinds of fabric. I'm saying like the men's
like the Hanes, like basic t-shirt.
Yes.
Material. Okay.
Right. Because it's, they're so similar across the different brands. And then like French Terry, which I don't think you could, I wonder if you could find that at a thrift store. It's kind of like a sweatshirt. It's kind of like a towel fabric, but it's stretchy. Like, it has the loops on one side and it's smooth on one side.
Oh, sure. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Those are, and like a sweatshirt fleece is a really great knit fabric to start with. And so those are the really kind of the the beginner level fabrics that I recommend to anyone when they're starting out, because you are more likely to have success and less likely to have problems in your sewing machine and when you're sewing, you know, that would make you want to give up or something.
Sure. And so as far as like patterns and stuff, I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would think like skirts would probably be pretty, I mean, you definitely would have the spandex you'd have to do around the waist, but I feel like that'd probably be pretty easy. I know that I made some skirts when my daughter was little, and dresses were pretty forgiving as well, especially size wise. And then maybe like, but jammies, I suppose, are more of like stretchy fabric. So that might be harder.
Well, some people go into it really loving knit fabric, and some people really don't really do like knit fabric. So it's, you kind of have to figure out what you like. Cause I like sewing pajamas for my kids is like the best. It's just like a snap because it's just quick and easy. But I know a lot of people really don't like knit fabric, but there's a lot of woven, like think of a classic pajama that's has like a collar and the button up the front, or like flannel pajama bottoms. Like you can, there's lots of different options. So I would definitely recommend skirts, but you can do like a circle skirt or, you know, like a knit skirt, but you can do woven skirts or like a, what do you call it? Like a loose woven tank top, because you're not doing sleeves.
Oh yeah.
And you're not fitting, you know, it's just kind of like loosely fitting over you, so you're not worried about fitting.
Sure.
So that's a great thing. Yes. But then also scarves, headbands, hats, mittens, aprons, tote bags. Like there's a lot of things that kind of are like clothing that are easier and a great place to start, but it's not a whole dress.
I love the tote bag idea. I actually made, now that you said that, it totally brought back the memory. I made all my bridesmaids little tote bags for them to like on the wedding day to bring all their stuff in. And that was so fun. And those were really easy. And I think I could whip out like two or three in an afternoon. I mean, once you get got everything all cut out, it was a real breeze to put together. Do you find yourself at the beginning, probably patterns are great. And where would you maybe source some of your patterns at? If you purchase them, or do you just mostly find all yours online? And do you even use patterns anymore? Are you so good now that you just like can eye everything?
So, well, anytime I'm doing clothing, I will still use a pattern. I just like having it instead of trying to figure it out on my own. But like anything that's simpler, I kind of make my own and can work with that. But so this is kind of an interesting question, because there are paper sewing patterns. That's the patterns you think of when you go to Joanne Fabrics and you find the pattern in an envelope and you take it home and it's on tissue paper and it's like, you know, that huge piece. And then there's PDF patterns, and that's like independent sewing designers who create clothing patterns that you buy it online and download it, and then you like print it out and tape it together and cut it out. And so it's interesting because the paper sewing patterns, a lot of people hated sewing and had a hard time with sewing because paper sewing patterns traditionally have too much ease, which is like the amount of like the circumference is too big. Like they come out so big because the pattern is designed to have way too much circumference inside of it. And then the PDF patterns are really designed with modern looks and with the right amount of ease. And so it's much easier to be successful with PDF patterns. I know a lot of people that love paper patterns, but I prefer PDF patterns. I think it's easier to be successful because it's an accurate, like when you are looking at the pattern and it says like this size will come out to be this measurement, then it's accurate and it will fit you. So it's like, you're just happier with the result instead of paper sewing patterns. You're trying to like figure out, you're choosing it on like the finished measurement versus the size. It's like, it's just really different. So I love PDF patterns. There's like hundreds of PDF pattern designers that you can find online. I don't design any clothes only for kids because I don't think I'm good enough to design for adult women. But there's a lot of really amazing designers out there that make really great patterns, you know, that lots of them have beginner friendly patterns and stuff.
That is, you know, that's so interesting that you would say that, because I do remember like my mom going to Joann's and grabbing those patterns. And even when I began sewing years ago, we would use those. And first of all, it was so frustrating, especially with as a child trying to do it, because the tissue paper ripped so easily. And yes, then you had to remember which size, because there was different, you could do like small, medium, or large. And so there's different cut lines for each size. And then there was also different variations to the pattern. So it was like extremely, it was hard to like cut it all out. And then like you're saying, back then, yes, I mean, there's pictures from when we had our Easter dresses on, and they were more of a boxy, very loose fit, because it's almost like the patterns are still back in the 80s and they just never updated them to now. So I love that. Yes, there's online sources. Maybe we can have you share one or two of those as well. In the show notes, people can link to that, because honestly too, I'm sure it's so much easier to find something, you type it in and then you can print it off and start that project that day if you have the fabric. So yes, instant gratification, that's really fun.
Right. And it's interesting because there's PDF pattern designers that design for certain body types. And so like I'm very tall. And so I prefer designers that draft closer to my height, because then there's not as much alterations I have to do. But there's people who draft for petite or pear, or I don't even know all the
That is amazing. I had no idea that that was even a thing. I'm so excited, because just the thought of like going to the store and picking those out just gives me instant anxiety. So I'm excited. I had no idea about that resource. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Okay. And then, so let's cover, we've only got a few minutes here left. What about other tools that are important? So if you have the machine, you source some of your fabric, what else? You said a seam ripper. Those are also very, very important. Yes. What else do you think should be in like your arsenal of beginner supplies?
So an iron, which hopefully everyone has an iron. It just helps your seams look better and your thread do better. Seam ripper. Scissors that only cut fabric. So you can even use, like, I have bought like regular paper scissors, but I never cut paper with them, and I just use them only for fabric. And then like a ruler and a marking tool, which sometimes I just do a pen or a pencil. So you don't have to get anything fancy.
I love that. I remember when my grandma, she would have her sewing scissors, and one time I couldn't find scissors and I was using them in the craft room, and you should have heard her when she walked in the room and saw me cutting paper with her sewing scissors. I learned from that point on, you never, ever use sewing scissors for anything else. And then how do you go about preparing your machine or your material for a project? So is it still pretty standard to like pre-wash most of your stuff? And then the machines are probably pretty self-explanatory, but do you have any tips for those two things?
If you are going to wear the item, you always pre-wash, because you want any like shrinkage, or sometimes there's still, I don't even know what it's called, but there's something on the fabric when they print it and you need to wash it to get it off, because you want it to be the way it's going to be when you're washing and wearing it, so that you don't accidentally shrink it or, you know, something changes. And then I just make sure you have the right sewing machine needle and matching thread. So there's sewing machine needles that are specifically for knit fabric or for heavier fabrics. And so you want to make sure you have the right needle. And then I always forget to get matching thread. I honestly just had to buy a pack of different colors, because I would forget every time I was starting.
I did the same thing, because you go to the store and you come home and you're so excited and you forgot the darn thread. And then half the time I'm like, oh, this one's close enough, because I don't want to go back to the store, which is not good, especially for clothing.
Right.
And then what do you find, since you've been doing this for so long, like what are the most common problems that people have, the common issues that maybe make them discouraged, and any way to prevent those or just offer words of wisdom?
A lot of times you get frustrated with your machine because the thread was like threaded wrong. And so it makes that nest of thread underneath. And then you just have to go into it knowing, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to spend money, and I'm going to throw it away. Probably with people who are learning to make bread, that some of your loaves you have to throw away. Just, you have to know, I'm going to make mistakes and I have to keep working and learning, and to not let a mistake hold me back.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, there's been plenty of things I've made and I've given it to the chickens because I was like, no one's eating this except the birds. So that takes it to them. And I think you're right. And you even touched on it at the very beginning, just like going into it knowing you're going to make mistakes. And like you said, as long as you prepare, I think with the like the more inexpensive material, you get the decent machine that you know is going to last you for a few years, and you just kind of go into it, just maybe having fun and just realizing, I love thinking of doing like the kids stuff because it's more like, I think there's more grace too with kids and the patterns.
Yes.
And then they grow out of things so quick too. So even if you didn't make it perfect or they just wore it at home or something, like it's not as big of a deal. And the kids are going to think it's amazing because you made it for them anyhow. I mean, they're so easy to please. I love it.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
And so how can we follow along with you? What are the best platforms to find you on? Do you offer courses, or if you said you had a lot of free patterns? So how can people stay in touch with you online?
So my website is heatherhandmade.com and I'm Heather Handmade on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you want to find me. I also have an email newsletter, so it's easy to keep up with. I do have a lot of free patterns, but then I have a fair amount of patterns that you can pay, cause they're way more involved than a free pattern. And so I love creating sewing patterns, especially free sewing patterns, because I love sewing and I want sewing to be accessible. And so people aren't afraid of like, I have to spend this much money to get started. I'm never going to get started. And the free sewing patterns are really a way to learn to sew without spending so much money.
Yeah, that's perfect. And that's how I think we did at the beginning too, was we just went on, my mom had tons of patterns too, but you can find them on, I mean, back in the day, we didn't have Instagram or Pinterest, but we could go on, there was still blogs and stuff like that. And people shared resources. And it was just so fun to be able to put something together and fairly quickly too. Like some of the free patterns are usually, you know, you can finish it in a few hours and then there's some instant gratification and you feel good too. Cause you're like, look, I just made this. Maybe I can go on to something harder. And I love that you offer the free and the paid because, you know, it takes time. You have invested a lot of time in creating these and then making them the right proportions and printable and everything. So as someone else who does things in the online world, it's definitely worth people to purchase those kind of things because you have put your blood, sweat, and tears, I'm sure, into those products. So we appreciate that. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on, Heather. And I'm just so excited that we were able to chat. And I hope that encouraged lots of people out there. And I hope that they're all going to jump on your website and make something this week. That would be so fun. This is the perfect time of year because we're still waiting for spring and to do other things. So this is like the time to sew.
Right. Thanks so much for having me, Erin. It was so fun. I love talking about sewing. It was just great.
Yes, maybe we'll have to have you on another in a little bit more and we'll talk about some more stuff. So that'd be so fun. Thank you so much, Heather. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.